shall we read together in the Gospel according to Luke. But this is what has spurred my heart in view of coming to the meeting, and it's what God has laid upon my heart, and I hope God will give help to deliver it. And possibly, the Lord intends what we have been hearing to be spoken on a little further. Sometimes it's a good thing to maybe break the line. Other times it's a good thing to continue the line, to drive it home, and make it more impressive. So let us read, as we have been hearing already. Now we're going to read further about Peter. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now turn to John's Gospel, chapter 21. We've been hearing about this already. We're going to read it again. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lamb. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now one more reading in the Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 16, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. And read from verse 6. Mark 16, verse 6. And he saith unto them, Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. What I want to speak on for a little while this morning is the recovery of a backslider. And reading this portion last night, there were three outstanding things in connection with the restoration of Peter. The first thing, now these things are very simple, but they're very vital. The first thing was prayer. I have prayed for thee. The next thing was in John chapter 21, personal contact. That's very important. How many of these cases did we visit? How many of these cases we call on that were once in the assembly and going on happily in assembly life? So personal contact. And then the last thought, patience. My, that must have meant something to Peter, because Mark adds this little word, go tell my disciples and Peter. In other words, don't forget Peter. I'm sure that must have touched Peter's heart. And he must have cherished that, the very fact that the Lord mentioned that, and Peter, don't forget Peter. So, it's clear what we've read this morning, that God is the God of recovery. God is the God of restoration. And so, in almost every meeting, I think we're safe when speaking on this line of things at any meeting, even at a conference. Because, let's face it now, let's be honest, speaker included, how many times in our Christian life have we been going through the motions as we're having here? Oh yes, coming up to the meeting, nothing looks out of place, everything looks in line all right, and yet not in touch with God. That's possible. You can stand up in this platform and preach without a good conscience. There's many things you can do without a good conscience. You can read your Bible without a good conscience. You can go out to meetings without a good conscience. You can visit the sick. You can give out gospel papers. But I'll tell you one thing you can't do. You can't pray. You can't get in touch with God if you're not in contact with God. It's utterly impossible. So I lined it up this way. Now, I know headings and lineups don't mean too much, but it at least lets you know which way I'm going, what I'm driving at. Dear man down in the States, he says, you know, Frank, he said, in our early days, the men we listened to, you never had to guess or second guess what they were driving at. Never. But he says, today, he says, you do. He says, some of our dear brethren, they remind me of Christopher Columbus. When he started out, he didn't know where he was going. And when he got there, he didn't know where he was. And when he got back, he didn't know where he had been. So I sincerely hope that it's not going to be that way. Now, don't think getting up on a platform is easy. As you know, I'm hesitant, and the reason I'm hesitant is on that very point, on that very thing. But I hope what I have to say will be a help to the people of God. As our brother Ernie has said, and all of us here this morning, we're going through deep water, individually and collectively. And Satan is out to destroy us. That can never be, but he'll certainly do everything in his power. Satan's not going to stand to one side and see things go on beautifully among the people of God, and see the gospel prosper, and see the souls of the saints blessed. He's not going to stand idly by and not do something. And look, brethren, God give us grace, and I'm speaking in my own heart. Sometimes I feel, you know, we just open the door wide and let them walk right in. My God, have mercy on us. May God have compassion upon us. Well, first of all, the person, Peter. Simon, Simon. Well, you say, why does the Lord single out Peter? Didn't the Lord love them all? Didn't the Lord have compassion for them all? He certainly did. But Peter is the one that's in danger. Peter's the target for the enemy. Peter's the one that Satan is out to get. And so, the Lord has a real personal interest in him. And let us ever remember, Peter was no hypocrite. He acted hypocritical, but he was no hypocrite. A true believer can't be a hypocrite. He may act hypocritical, but he can't be a hypocrite. If he's a hypocrite, he's never been saved. Judas was a hypocrite, a downright hypocrite. He never loved the Lord. Judas was in it for what he could get out of it. That's very obvious. So Judas was an apostate. He was a hypocrite. He was trying to play a part that wasn't really sincere. Not Peter. Peter was the genuine article, the true wheat. He wasn't chaff. He was the true wheat. So he's the one that's in danger. Here we have a very touching scene. Just before Calvary, and the Lord's concerned about the future of these dear disciples of his, concerned about what lies ahead, and has a real concern for them. And I want to say to every believer here today, whether you believe it or whether you don't, I know you do, there's one in heaven whose heart beats through for you. Why, that's one thing that encourages me, even when I stand up to preach, because you never know who's your friends, you know. Mr. Sam McCune wrote from Ireland one time, he signed the closing part of the letter, "Remember me to all my friendly enemies." There's more in that than poetry. I'm not trying to be unkind, but it's true, you know. You never know who is really 100% out and out for you? Well, there's one in glory, thank God. And his heart beats true for you. And he's deeply concerned about you, deeply interested in you. Every department of your life, your home life, personal life, assembly life, business life. And let us be honest. Don't be too hard on Peter. Don't be too critical. Who among us hasn't denied our Lord in some form or another? Now, let's be honest. My, when I hear the brother, and particularly if I'm present, that person has been dealt with. Maybe had to be put away. I want to tell you, you should do that with a broken heart. Not trying to do away with the individual. I've said to myself, there go I, but for the grace of God. I really believe that. I'm thankful to God, and I'm grateful to God that he spared me. You know, when you get old, you have to be careful. I was saying that just the other day. You know, men that were a blessing to God's people in their early life, they got to be a problem when they got older. They got to be a difficulty. I'm going on 75 now. Now it's my constant prayer. I hope I don't turn out that way to the people of God. I'd like to finish my course in fellowship with God and in fellowship with his people. I really would. And it's only the grace of God and by the grace of God that that can be accomplished. Many a ship has gone down and tried to shore. So the person, Peter, so much like ourselves, that's why I like to read about him. I'm glad our brother Ernie read about him. Sometimes he said the right thing, other times he said the wrong thing. Sometimes he did the right thing, other times he did the wrong thing. Isn't that you? If it's not, you don't know your own heart. So first of all, with prayer. This prayer here is a beautiful example of the present intercession of the Lord Jesus in heaven for us. And God only knows where we'd be today if it wasn't for that. But there's one thing I appreciate, and thank God for it, the intercessory work in the glory on behalf of Christ for me and for you. I had prayed for thee. And notice he prayed before Peter went down, not after. Before. Sometimes it's really amusing. We see a Christian world bordering and we see them heading for a fall. What do we all do? You don't go home and shed a tear for them, do you? Oh, no, no. We all look on and we say, oh my, he's heading in the wrong direction. He's going for a fall. We all stand by and look on. And when he goes down or when she goes down, just what I thought would happen. I knew that was going to happen. Did you go home and spend 5 minutes on your knees for that individual? When's the last time you really went into the presence of God and shed a tear for the people of God? When was it? When did I last do that? Now, some of us were so cold and we're so far away from God, we couldn't even pump them up. Not that that would do any good. But my, isn't it a wonderful thing when a person has compassion for you? I pray for thee. Imagine the upholder of the universe, the sustainer of all things, and he condescends to say to Peter, I pray for thee. How do you feel when a person says that to you? How does it affect you? And you say, I'm praying for you. I know some people say that, and you feel like saying, raise your right hand and say that. But when you have confidence in the person, I'm talking about real sincere spiritual believers. The thing that encourages me, even when I get up to preach, is the spiritual one. You can't do anything with carnal Christians. You might go forget them. You could stand up here and preach, and you could be as full of the Holy Ghost as Barnabas, but it wouldn't mean a thing. But spiritual Christians, they're the ones that I think about. My, when a spiritual Christian says to you, Frank, I'm praying for you. Oh, that really affects me. There's certain believers in assembly life, I'd hate to have them praying against me. I can honestly say that. Because they know God. They're touched with God. I'd hate to have them praying against me. I'd be scared stiff. I don't get too alarmed about a carnal, believer, because you can't do anything with them. You'll never change them. Jordan Dale was telling me this a little while ago. He said, when I was just a young man, Frank, Mr. Paul came to me, Mr. Mervyn Paul, and I'm sure we all have to admit that our brother Paul, he certainly topped the list for spirituality, being in touch with God. And he said to Gordon, he says, Gordon, I'm going to pray for you every day. And one of the members of the family told Gordon afterwards, they said, Gordon, he carried that out. He says, we heard him pray. Every day, he mentioned Gordon's name. Got a prayer list. It would be a good thing if we got a prayer list. We used to do that. In the good old days, we used to have a prayer list, and we went over those different ones. Do that. Make a prayer list. And don't forget to pray to somebody you don't like. How do you get along when you try that? Now, honestly, now, how do you get along? That's very brief, isn't it? You say that in a hurry. Get it over with as quickly as you can. That's not real intercession. Why, sometimes I think our prayer meetings should pray for everything in general and nothing in particular. After a prayer meeting, if you ask some believers, what were you praying for tonight? They couldn't tell you. They couldn't tell you. Why, God help us to be definite. The Lord, He was very definite, specific. I have prayed for thee, for Peter. That's the one. Oh, look, brother, sister, get somebody on your heart. Somebody on your mind and soul and pray for them. Pray for them. Our dear brothers mentioned some of the deep waters God's people are going through. I want to tell you, there's some believers that I meet, and I have the greatest admiration for them. I think one dear brother, and I don't know how he survives it. He's never down in the mouth. He doesn't put his burden on others. You know what he said to me? Well, he said, Frank, I think of the pluses, not the minuses. I think of the pluses, the way the Lord has blessed me. Oh, my. Honestly, I felt away from God when I listened to him. That certainly wouldn't be Frank Kersey, that's for sure. Yeah. Prayer. I prayed for thee. And then personal contact. He sought him out. Make contact with him. Private interview. That's how it should be settled. Yeah. I know those things have to be dealt publicly. Now, don't go away and say that Mr. Kersey was condoning the sanctioning sin. No. There's certain things have to be dealt with in a public way in our assembly. But there's a lot of things should be dealt privately. That's the way it was handled here. Private interview between the Lord and Peter. My, what an occasion that was. John 21 brings out the shepherd character of the Lord Jesus. The whole chapter, I have a lineup on that. It's kind of on the drafting board. I may let it go sometime. Right through the chapter, John 21, you have the character shepherd of the Lord Jesus. He'd come out. Now I know, it says in the Bible, with such a one, no, not to eat, but it doesn't say you're not to visit him. Does it? Socially? Yeah. With such a one, no, not to eat. But it doesn't say you're not to visit him. And so, right here on this occasion, it must have been a touching scene. 3 times, the Lord put that challenging question to him. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter got grieved at that. It corresponded with the 3 denials. 3 times to him. 3 times. Finally, Peter says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I believe here's a vital test as to whether a person saved or not. Hearing a lot about
Oh, I wonder if he's saved or wonder if she's saved.
I don't think he's saved. I think she's saved.
How do you know?
When did you see the book?
And when a person gets into doubt.
And I've had my fellow doubts.
Oh, Mr. Casey.
Yes. Yes. The man on the platform went through his fellow doubts.
Now I know there's no virtue in doubting.
There's no virtue in that.
My dear mother never doubted her salvation from the time she was born again until she breathed her last, and she was 91 years of age, and she never doubted her salvation. But her son did.
But I want to tell you, I think it would be a lot better if the individual was to handle it this way. And this is the thing that encourages me. Because all these outside influences, you know, really.
Did you doubt?
Yes, I doubted. Did you not say?
Did you have this in your conversion? Did you have that?
And they got 10 points? I had 10 points when I started preaching. If they didn't go through those 10 points, well then, come on, say it.
Well, I've had to change that drastically.
I want to tell you, it would be a better thing if you retired to your room. Get away from all this outside influences. I appreciate the advice of Christians, but sometimes the things get very complicated, very confusing. Just retire to your room and say to yourself, what do I think of the Lord Jesus? What appreciation have I got from Him? Is there any response in my soul to Him? Do I love Him? Do I appreciate Him? An unsaved person hasn't that. Many a time in the privacy of my life, when things got going rough, because the pathway doesn't always run smoothly, sometimes it gets rough. Many a time I've retired to my room and I've said, oh Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. I do. Lord Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. That's the best friend. So, the Lord makes personal contact with Peter. And that's the big thing. Think of these prodigal sons and daughters. Last night, at the cottage there, I was going over mine, and I like to get away like that, because sometimes, you know, this teaching life is just pretty hectic. You know, you've got to get away and get a little quiet spot to get a little nourishment for your own soul. Not to be coming to the Bible all the time to get messages for other people, but just to get a little nourishment. Because if you're not taking in, you can't give out! So I'm thinking of the prodigal sons and the prodigal daughters that were once among us. Brethren, what have we done to recover them? What have we done? Have you ever visited them? Did you ever go and talk to them? I took a funeral not too long ago in Toronto. This dear woman had been away from the assembly for many years. And I'm not going into all the details of the case. After the service, I said to her, I said, I hope this experience today is going to be a stepping stone for you coming back to the assembly. The tears gathered in her eyes. She says, I hope it will be. Mr. Searcy, she's back in the assembly today and has been ever since the funeral. I got great joy out of that. She was restored. She was brought back to God and to His people. Mr. Adam Rockefeller is now in the glory, and I revere his memory. He was a great help to me when I first came to the assembly. I always saved out of the world, and I made my blunders as a result of that state of things, but Mr. Walker was so kind to me. He came over and he put his arm around me and said, how are things going, Frank? I said, oh, all right. He said, do you read the Bible every day? Yes, I do. Do you pray every day? Have you witnessed for Christ? Yes, I said, I have, Mr. Walker.
Now, I said, wonderful, Frank. Now, look, he said, everything's going fine. But there's just a couple of things I'd like to mention to you. And he said, you'd rather have me mention them than somebody else, wouldn't you? Oh, my, I was quick on that one. I said, yes, Mr. Walker, I think I would. Well, at least I thought so. Why don't you appreciate him like that?
Well, his son, well, I'm speaking very personal, but anyway, he was a great help to me. I remember the night I was baptized. He was a tremendous help to me when I, because I knew nothing about baptism. When I was down that room downstairs, just to the right of the platform, Lyman went over the whole thing with me. What his father would do when I stepped into the tank and how to hold my hands and everything. Well, I don't know what caused Lyman to get away. Often think about him. When the elders came into the meeting and said to Mr. Walker, would it be all right if we read Lyman's name out as no longer in fellowship? Mr. Walker looked at him. He said, brother, if you feel that should be done, you go right ahead. But I'd like to ask you one thing before you do it. Did you ever visit him? Did you ever contact him? Did you ever have a talk with him? Mr. Walker Hennings had never been visited, never been contacted. Now, Clayton, I let that word, that Mark gives that added word, please tell my disciples and Peter. My Peter must have cherished that thought. He must have. That's the mention of his name. But one of these days I'm going to give a word on the gospel. I always give a word in the gospel. But I'm going to give a word on the God of the second chance. Not the gospel of the second chance. You've got to be careful there. Not the gospel of the second chance. You only get one chance in the gospel, and that's now. There's no second chance when it comes to the gospel. But the God of the second chance, and the Bible bears it out. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Talk about arrogance. The Lord said to Jonah, does it pay you to be angry? Jonah says, yes, it does. What do you think of man talking to the Lord like that? Well, you wouldn't have him in Huntsville here. And he says, it does. And he said, I'm angry. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. John Mark, that gospel that we've read from, he got a second chance. And Paul had to say, you see, John Mark, he's profitable to the ministry. And Peter got a second chance. The God of the second chance. God is the God of restoration, recovery. Now that's God's desire. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners to be converted. So the Lord as much said to Peter, well, Peter, down the road there, you didn't represent me very well. And he didn't. But you're going to. And on the day of Pentecost, that marvelous day, when 3,000 souls were gathered in, and they're all genuine, he was the one that brought the message. Peter. Oh, my. You know what the remarkable thing was? When Peter stood up, it says in Acts 2 there, 11 stood with him. Right, Mr. Peter. My, that mighty power of God and the power of the Spirit of God surged through that man's being. What a message. Oh, I sincerely hope from the platform down that this conference is going to be characterized by restoration for his namesake.